Hi, this is Ernie Noah, a.k.a. Enoah4 from Champaign, Illinois. You're listening to the only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
This is the only Neverwinter Nights podcast, the podcast all about everything Neverwinter Nights. We consistently bring you a high-quality podcast that is informative, entertaining, and inspirational. Welcome to the show. Hey, I'm Jay, a.k.a. Naviga Naroda.
And I'm Trey, a.k.a. Ashrakhan Zelo.
Welcome to the Neverwinter Nights podcast. This show covers all aspects of the Neverwinter Nights community. News, tips and tricks, interviews, reviews, and discussion roundtables from around the community. Check out our website at nwnpodcast.com for all our show notes and much more information. You can write us at show@neverwinternights.com or post to us in our forums. Call us on Skype at NWN Podcast and leave us a voicemail. So with that, quit trying to figure out that epic spell for a few minutes and join us for another exciting episode of the Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
In this episode, we have NWN2 patch 1116 is available. 2006 Golden Dragon Award winners. Plus,
DMFI Neverwinter Nights 2 Tools version 1.1 is released.
Roar!
The community creature pack for Neverwinter Nights 1 has also been released. And
the NWN podcast there is 1 year old.
Woo! Happy birthday to us, and you, and everybody else. Yeah, we've actually been a little bit over a 1 year old, but we kind of wanted to make sure we waited at least till we hit the end of the October and November time frame, because it was really in the middle of November that we really started the podcast. So now that we've right at the end of November, we're calling it good. This is 1 year. We've made it a year, guys. So thank you for being there with us and supporting us and giving us lots of great community sites and community items to talk about.
For the main topic, we have an interview with Ernie Noah, a.k.a. Enoah4. Ernie is a mod maker for Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2, releasing modules like B2, Keep on the Borderlands, and UK5, Eye of the Serpent, version 1, as well as many others.
I always wonder what the B2 and the UK5 mean.
You'll hear all this and much more on the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Neverwinter Nights podcast. This is episode 40. Hey, Trey, so what have you been doing lately?
Actually, we were so busy for Thanksgiving, I didn't even get to play any games.
Me either.
So I don't have any updates. Sorry.
Let's compare. How far did you drive over the holidays for Thanksgiving?
Do you count driving over to Oklahoma to duck hunt?
You can. So you didn't travel much for the holiday?
Nope, not at all.
No. Like we did the equivalent of what would have been a small European tour, I think, because we traveled from Arkansas all the way across Oklahoma into Texas and stopped. Then we drove another 2 hours into... Hey, that was like 6-7 hours driving right there at 80 miles an hour, just like flying. So we drove another 2 hours south of there, then stayed with my grandparents, visited my grandmother, saw some aunts and uncles, spent about 2-3 days there, got back in the car, drove all the way back up, another 4-5 hours of the driving, about halfway back from where we came from to Oklahoma City in the Middle Eastern. It's the eastern part of the middle of Oklahoma and stayed a night there. Then we went north for 5 hours and went into Kansas and saw some family there. Then drove back through Tulsa, which was another 6 hour drive home. So yeah, we did a lot of driving.
Did you spend $80,000 on gas?
Yeah, probably. I don't even want to look at that. But it was good. We got to see a lot of family that we haven't seen in a long time, and it was a lot of fun.
So, did we get any good comments or feedbacks from the last episode?
Well, it looked like someone asked if we had received any feedback from the previous show.
Actually, we got some feedback because everybody was having trouble downloading the last episode.
Yeah, seems like you had discovered that a neat little thing I wanted to put on there was breaking everything.
Yeah, the little, we have so many hours and days till the next episode, which I thought was cool, but...
Well, not if it breaks the feed,
it broke
though.
The RSS feed somehow. Some code or something.
We've had that turned off, so after you figured it out, it's gone.
So that's what most of the comments are about. Everyone seemed to like the discussion that you had with Ben Wyanahuzi.
Hey, you did pretty good. Took me forever, as if you heard the bloopers. It took me forever to get that right.
Well, you know,
that,
I didn't.
But
know,
that
I
had Donadio turned it into, you know, back to back. Ben Wyanahuzi and Tony Donadio.
Donna Radio.
Right. All in one sentence has really flubbed me up there big time.
So there were some very good comments about.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see what those guys do because I think it was a really cool concept that they came up with to try to give some credit where credit is due in the community. So I think it was really cool.
I guess we're going to have to take Michelle's cookies away from her.
I don't know where she's been lately. I know that her mother's been sick a little bit. So she's been spending some trying to take care of her. I think that's what she told me was going on. But I haven't talked to her in a while. So.
Oh, I like the very last comment. Ben leaves the last comment. You know it for. Looking forward to catching your podcast. I guess Ernie was a little put out that we bumped him.
Oh, no, he wasn't.
I know. I'm joking. He goes, for the record, and then he gives you the win.
Yeah.
He does you the phonetics there. Then he says, that's why I use BGP Hughes.
I can understand that. It's a tough one, though.
Okay, it's time for the news.
And here's Trey with the news.
Patch 11.16 is now up and available for Nevermore Nights 2. Recommended install procedure is as follows. Install Nevermore Nights 2, install Mask of Betrayer, run the auto updater.
But what if you don't have Mask of Betrayer?
I guess you don't do number 2.
I was going to try that because I haven't installed Mask of the Betrayer yet and see if it would actually go ahead and upgrade to the 1.1.1.6 patch without it.
Well, I noticed when I upgraded to 1.10 that the splash screen comes up and says Mask of the Betrayer, and I haven't even installed Mask of the Betrayer.
Even if you don't have it installed, yeah. It's like they were so far ahead of getting that sold to you that they were going to go ahead and put the splash screen on there for you.
Did you notice that?
Yes, I did. It actually changed some of the icons, I thought. One of them I did. Maybe it was the 1.07 patch would actually change the color of the Nevermore Nights 2 icon to the green.
Speaking of the Academy for Modding Excellence, the Golden Dragon
I wasn't speaking of it.
Have been announced.
Yeah, what we heard in the stuff last week was a lot of the nominations. Now they're starting to hand out awards, so that's cool.
The Community Contribution Award for 2006 went to PRC 3.1E and I guess just PRC.
Oh, so the Players Resource Consortium?
Yes, the Players Resource Consortium.
Yeah, those guys, I've actually been trying to work out an interview with them, but the stuff that they've cranked out, if you use any prestige classes or like to use that kind of stuff or custom classes in your modules or in your adventures, they've cranked out a ton for the community, so I think that's well deserved.
The best tile set hack for 2006 went to Immersive Swamps by Lord Rosencrantz.
And most of these they haven't done Neverwinter Nights 2 yet. These are just all Neverwinter Nights 1 awards. Next year, they've got if you remember from last week's, our last episode's interview, they've got another task of trying to do Neverwinter Nights 2 and Neverwinter Nights 1. And I don't remember if it was in the discussion or not, but we talked about it afterwards. Some, you will notice if you look at some of the nominations on these modules and some of these awards that, Ben has been nominated for some as well as Tony has. Any time that they were nominated by those groups in that category, those people abstained from any voting whatsoever in that category. So Ben didn't vote for himself. So in other words,
right.
Best hack other for 2006 was ACP's alternative combat animations, the override version, by Raganok. Best action module for 2006 was Prechance to a Dream by Hugi. I remember y'all mentioning that nomination.
Yep.
So he won. Most playable module for 2006.
That's
was
the most replayable module.
Oh, sorry, you're right. Most replayable module was Surviving Horror 2 by Eric Barra Carlson. It's funny that it says there's a warning. This is a horror game inspired by both Silent Hill and Resident Evil.
Hmm. Oh, cool.
Sounds like...
Well, they've dumped out a bunch of these awards since last week, haven't they?
Best Adventure module went to Omraven by Festerpot.
I love these names. I couldn't come up with anything ever quite so creative.
I remember them mentioning that in the discussion, Festerpot. Best RPG module went to Avertine, A Nation Dreamed. Best multiplayer went to Good vs. Evil 2 by John Galstott by. Veteran Author Award went to Savant. He's been building modules for Neverwinter Nights since 2003. Good grief. And now has 6 modules on the NWN Vault. We need to get an interview with him.
Well, we need to interview everybody on this list. They're doing a lot of good work for us, weeding and finding people we need to interview.
Debut Arthur Award for 2006 went to Festerpot.
Now that's only for authors that have just entered into modding this year. So it's kind of like a rookie award, if you think of it that way. That's like a best new talent this year. So that's very cool. Well deserved.
And best sound and music, best sound / music composer award went to David John, which is not surprising. I've actually listened to some of his music. And actually, he let me use some of it in some of our previous podcasts. And I've talked to him on email, and he is going to do an interview with us.
Oh, very cool.
If I just get back with him. The first time I asked him, he said he was really busy and said to check back with him. So that's been a couple of months ago.
Yeah, that's
hopefully we'll have him on an interview.
I love the concept behind these awards, and I know I've said it before, but it's kind of rooted at the heart of what we decided whenever we wanted to put the podcast together. Was it was a great way to showcase talent in the community, and this is just another way that they can get recognition and be shown that and show that they've gotten that recognition and influence in the community and get a little payback for blood, sweat, and tears going into these modules and for the not just the modules but the artwork and the music and everything else. Because as we've come to find out, you and I both, that there's a heck of a lot of not just modding talent, but storytelling talent and music talent. Yeah. And it's just artistic talent out there that I'm not part of. I'm challenged in all those areas, so I'm glad to see somebody else can do it.
Also in the news, DMFI has released version 1.10 of their tools for Neverwinter Nights 2. The DM Friendly Initiative has released a version 1.10 of its NWN tools package, now compatible with patch 101 and Mask of the Betrayer. It also includes a number of fixes and added features. And so if you want to read more about that, we'll have a link in the show notes.
The community creature project. Or the CCP has been released. The Community Creature Project has been released by the CCP team. After nearly a year, the official CCP for Neverwinter Nights 1 is out. It's been polished up and greatly improved. Nearly 200 new creatures for use. Some nifty new placeables as well, all in one easy-to-use hack. So if you're looking for something to add something to your Neverwinter Nights 1 module and give you a little heads-up or a little edge over it, you might check that out.
Did you like my sound effects?
Yes, I like the...
I was just looking over here. They list some of the creatures.
Yeah.
An axe beak. Some of these I don't even want to try to pronounce. Barracuda. Displacer beast. I wonder what that is. Eye of the deep. A fire bat. Fire toads. I wonder what a giant alternative is. Gorillas.
That kind of sounds scary.
All kinds of stuff. Bunch of dinosaurs. This actually says it has nearly 250.
Ooh.
Creatures. Alrighty then, I think that's the news.
Yep.
Did you know, hey Jay, did you know that Neverwinter Nights has some game secrets in it? You know, like, what do they call
like
them?
Easter eggs?
Easter eggs, yeah.
No, I did not know that.
A nod to the one that started it all. The Baldur's Gate logo can be found on the bookshelf in the city interior tile set.
Oh, I did not know that.
Also, there is a book on the desktop of the city interior tile set home lower one 2x2 group that has a BioWare logo on it. Also, if you do a close up on the Heel Giant's belt buckle,
yeah,
you'll see the word Texas in the belt buckle.
That's funny.
Another one is there's a couple of chicken jokes. If you look at the description on a chicken that can be found on the Southern Farm in Port Last, when you do, you know, how you do a description on them, it says, this chicken ignores you, eyeing instead the nearby road, perhaps trying to decide whether it should cross it or not.
Well, you think you got some good ones. Here's one for you. Here's a Neverwinter Nights Easter egg. If you open the command prompt window, you go into Insight Debug Mode 1, and you have to type case sensitive, so capital D and capital M. And then, when you're in a place with a lot of people around, type in DM_cows_from_hell. And sit back and have a good laugh, but be careful the people that don't die will attack you, and it'll probably shift your alignment towards evil just a little bit there.
And so those are some nice little tidbits about Neverwinter Nights.
Hey there, all you Neverwinter Night fans. Stand by for news. Lurchman here with the latest news from the Thieves Guild. Well, actually, there's not a lot of news this week, but I do want to let you know that we've completed the update for the walkthrough up to and including Act 2. Check it out, because we've added a whole lot of new content, including four different ways of completing the scheme, that maze of a level in the Sunken City. All the maps for Act 1 and Act 2 have been updated also. If you do stop by, check out the Influence Guide, which is being reorganized, and you'll find a whole new page for companion influence benefits. As you reach certain levels of influence with your party members, you'll receive perks that will boost your stats or add protection for various things. Here's a couple of examples. At level 75, with Sophia, you get a +2 intelligence boost and a +4 to all spell saves. With Gan, at level 50, you get a +2 charisma boost. So check it out. Kay Gambit has done a fine job with this. Kay Gambit and I are also starting to lay the groundwork for creating an item ID list, but that's going to be quite a while in the making. Oh, I'd also like to mention that we have a new moderator at the Guild. Stop on by and say hi to Epirote, the newest member of the Thieves Guild staff. Well, that's about it for this week's episode, folks. But the next time you're online, stop by the Thieves Guild and say hi. Until then, this is Lurchman saying, work hard, but game harder.
He's created C1 Hidden Shrine of Tomoachan version 2.6, Hytham 2 The Halls of Kilgren version 3.2, Hytham version 4 with a DM plot wand, and UK5 Eye of the Serpent version 1. Those are all Nebronites 1. For Nebronites 2, he has created B2 Keep on the Borderlands and Tomoachan version 1.03. So, without further ado, sit back and take a listen as Michelle interviews Ernie Noah.
Hi, I'd like to welcome Ernie Noah, a.k.a. Enoah4, Neverwinter Nights 2, 1, and 2, module creator. Could you tell us a bit about yourself and what modules you've done or worked on?
Sure. I'm 37 years old. I live in Central Illinois. Married to a great lady, and I have three wonderful sons, and I work as an information technology manager at the International Society of Arboriculture and do networking and run databases on Microsoft SQL Server and run websites, and I've been an avid D&D player since the 70s, forever it seems like, and almost always been a DM, never a player, as I've done that, and worked on a number of modules for both Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2. And I started with a series of Neverwinter Nights module based on a homegrown world that I used to run in paper and pencil Dungeons & Dragons called Ambrosia. I never released them. They just weren't polished enough. And the first thing I released publicly on Neverwinter Vault was a conversion of C1, the Hidden Shrine of Tamakan, which was a published paper and pencil module. And I tried to be real loyal to the original, and it was an exercise in forcing me to learn more about the tool set and scripting. And then I built some original modules for Neverwinter Nights 1. I built Hytham, which is its original, is an original setting, and it's the largest module I've built to date, and one of the favorites that I've done. And that was followed up by a sequel, Hytham 2, The Halls of Kilgren. And the original Hytham was more epic in scope than Hytham 2, which was essentially a very large dungeon crawl. It started out as an adventure that I was going to play with just a gaming friend of mine. It wasn't even set in the world of Hytham, but I got such a nice response to the first one that it became a sequel. And I was lucky enough to have that module selected as a finalist in the 2006 Independent Games Festival for Neverwinter Nights 1 modules.
Fantastic.
I did one more Neverwinter Nights 1 module, which was another paper and pencil module conversion, something called Eye of the Serpent, and it was an outdoor survival-themed module. And I was real happy with the look and atmosphere of it. It was a lot smaller than the others, but the others took so much time and effort, I just needed to do something a little smaller. And I've also done two Neverwinter Nights 2 modules. The first was another paper and pencil conversion of B2, Keep on the Borderlands, which is the module that used to come in the basic set way back when, if you're a paper and pencil player. And it's a hack and slash module, which is really odd for me because that's not my thing. I don't care for hack and slash all that much. But it was a learning experience to figure out how to use the tool set and what was new. And was really surprised by the increased build time when I worked on it. But basically a learning experience. And most recently, I've got one more Neverwinter Nights 2 module out, and that's called Tamakan. And that's also a conversion of C1, the Hidden Shrine of Tamakan, which was my first public Neverwinter Nights 1 project. But it's quite different than the one I did for Neverwinter Nights 1, at least in my mind. I added a big backstory, and I think that became the dominant feature of the module. And the new one involved two companions who were very central to the plot, and I feel like I finally had the chance to develop companions and henchmen the way I wanted them to be in Tamakan, and always been trying to improve the henchmen and companions in the module. I finally feel like I got it the way I wanted. It's kind of a shorter module, but I'm really pleased with how it came out.
Well, I don't know if you recall or not, but I did leave a comment on Tamakan. I did play it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You remember me on there? Yeah, that wasn't long ago.
Not too long ago.
I did vote. I gave it a good vote.
I appreciate that.
And Bruce Nielsen told me to tell you that he likes the the multiplayer. Yeah, the multiplayer one. Yeah. We are playing it, by the way. We do have
great.
A Saturday morning play. It's scheduled weekly until we get through it.
How's it going?
Well, the first week was a bunch of technical mishaps, and once we finally get that ironed out, we're going to move on. And I think we are playing this Saturday.
Great.
And so far, so good, though. We're having fun. You said it was a hack and slash, but because we're all playing together and we're role-playing, it kind of embellishes on that whole hack and slash thing, so we have our own role-playing going on.
I think you'll have, a good experience. I mean, I think the game is supposed to be played multiplayer, and it's a throwback to my background. I mean, I started out playing when I was like 9 or 10, and always played multiplayer paper and pencil, and that's kind of the mindset I've got when I write. So I think this is just an extension of that. I think the best experience is when you can play a multiplayer.
You have made the transition from Neverwinter Nights 1 to Neverwinter Nights 2. How did you feel about the change in the tool sets?
I think there's a lot more power in Neverwinter Nights 2. There's a lot more freedom to create truly unique environments. And the big trade-off is the build time goes way up. With Neverwinter Nights 1, I distinctly remember modders asking for truly empty tile sets. In Neverwinter Nights 1, the tile sets were decorated, and this somewhat limited what you were able to create. The interior tile sets in Neverwinter Nights 2 are completely undecorated, and this combined with the ability to paint exteriors has given modders the ability to be much more creative, and at the same time it has a huge impact on the amount of time required to build a module. And there's other things that factor into that. You can control facial animations, and you've got a lot of control over conversations. They've built a lot more capabilities in, but it just takes longer, and you can get lost in the tinkering. Overall, I think the capabilities in the new tool set are fantastic. For me, I've got 3 sons, so my time to build is often fragmented and really limited. So the increased build time can be a little bit of a hindrance. My family always comes first, but obviously I'm still finding a way to get it done. I've got 2 modules out, so I am still plugging away at it.
Was the transition challenging for you?
Somewhat. And I've been through similar changes working with new versions of Microsoft SQL Server or Visual Studio at work. There's always a learning curve when things change. And, this increases building time in the short term as you're learning things. There's some unexpected bugs. With the tool set, there were some unexpected bugs and some corrupted areas when I was working on Keep on the Borderlands that really set me back. And I actually did get kind of frustrated working on Keep on the Borderlands. I didn't do everything that I had hoped to do when I started working on that module, and I kind of went into that expecting it to be a learning experience and B, a short project, and it would be a launching pad to get me into something more complicated, larger, and probably an original module. But between the learning curve and the additional time required to build, I was kind of caught off guard, and as I hit some areas that got corrupted towards the end of building that, I found I wasn't enjoying the process with that module quite as much as I did in Neverwinter Nights 1. And ultimately, I don't think that module is everything I wanted it to be, and I had hoped that it would be more robust, there'd be more going on with the companions that were in there, there'd be more role-playing and some original elements. But by the time I got around to adding that, I was kind of burnt out on it, and I really needed a break. So I wrapped it up, and I took a break, but I think I put all that I learned to use when I put Tamakan together, and I took a different approach. I built my NPCs, and I did all the dialogue first. I think I even had half the dialogue finished before I constructed a single area. And I almost used my dialogue and that plot that I put together as a movie script. And when that was done, it was kind of like building the sets and adding the actors to support just the story that I needed to tell and just the dialogue that I had. And that module really represents what I've been wanting to do with Henchmans and Companions since I was working on Hytham. I think they're pretty interesting, and each of them is front and center, and how you interact with them is pretty important and can dramatically impact the outcome of the module. So I think I've gotten past that learning curve, and you know, it was frustrating at first, but I think I figured out a good strategy for working with it.
How did you get started doing modules?
I grew up playing D&D as a paper and pencil game, and I was almost always a dungeon master, and I rarely was ever a player. And I've been writing modules and leading players through adventures since I was, 10. You know, and after college, the opportunity to play regularly tapered off, and I missed it. And I kind of found a creative outlet writing modules for games. I would do levels for Doom and Warcraft and Starcraft. And I did a mountain of Starcraft levels, and there were three or four buddies that I used to game with, and we'd get together every Saturday morning, and we'd play these cooperative custom StarCraft modules. The guys did custom voice work, and we had these elaborate plots and these lengthy campaigns. And that actually all culminated at my bachelor party. All the guys that played StarCraft stood up with me in the wedding. And at the bachelor party a few days before, they all brought their computers to the house, and they set up a small LAN in the dining room, and we played custom StarCraft levels all day. I mean, if that isn't like the ultimate geek bachelor party, I don't know what could be. But some of the viewers actually had nice sound systems. And the first time we had a salvo from the siege tanks, we actually tripped the circuit breakers and the power in the house went off. We had to rewire the network. And so it was pretty cool. But, you know, that eventually tapered off. And I tried writing levels for Warcraft 3, and I didn't like the editor. And then I had a good friend of mine who had an extra copy of Neverwinter Nights 1, and he said, try out the tool set. And, you know, poof, here I am. I'm hopelessly addicted to writing modules. And it's just a continuation of the desire to tell stories and just keep playing D&D, and I've just been doing it forever.
Well, for those of us who are mod junkie players, we appreciate it. Trust us. I have played so many of them. So, are you willing to give us any teasers on any future projects?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. You know, after I finish every module, I retire forever, and then I write another one. So I'm presently retired forever, but I've been I've been thinking about what I'm going to do next. And Hytham was a module I did for Neverwinter Nights 1. A lot of people have been saying, "Boy, you need to do that for Neverwinter Nights 2." And there's a guy out there who's working. I think it's Amraphiel is the handle, if I've got it right, something along those lines. And he's actually working on an airship, and that would figure prominently into that module, and it's one of the pieces I need to...
Oh, Stefan Grange did that in Neverwinter Nights 1 with X-Coda.
Yeah, and I made a lot of use of those airship models that were available. But I think that's what's going to be next. And I'm going to take everything that worked, and I'm going to use it again. And if things didn't work, I'm going to throw it out, or I'm going to rework it. So I've kind of been turning the ideas over in my head, and I've been gathering bits of custom music that I might use. So I think I'm going to finish playing Mask of the Betrayer, and then I'll probably start on that. And I think another thing that'll be interesting, I think I'm actually going to work with a good friend of mine, a guy named Bruce Rogers, and his handle is Darmok, and he and I have been playing since the paper and pencil days. And I've never worked with someone else on it before, but he and I have known each other since the 80s. And, you know, he lives close by, and he's very understanding about the fragmented time that I'm able to put in very short spurts. So we're going to give that a try.
Well, cool. What are your thoughts about the Neverwinter Nights 2 OC?
I thought it was great. I had a blast playing it. I hit a few bugs on the way. there was nothing insurmountable, and I found
let's compare bugs. I actually only had two. Seriously.
I had a showstopper, and that was, what was the name of Amanjero's daughter? I can't think of her name.
Granddaughter. Chandra
Jero. Yeah, Chandra. And when her farm burned down, she wouldn't talk to me after that. I rescued her, and she just refused to talk to me. So I couldn't get out of that scene, and I couldn't continue with the story, and I had to find an old save slot. That was the worst thing that happened, though.
Mine is the follow bug, where you constantly have to recommand follow. And a cutscene in, you know what? I don't even think Jay's there yet, but there's a cutscene when you're chasing down this silver shard at a particular mansion, and it kept triggering. Every time I took a step, it would trigger again. And I finally had to walk around it and kind of push through it to finally get out of it. So,
yeah, I read the follow bug you mentioned. I'm used to it. You know, I just tell everybody to follow every time I enter an area, and they figure it out.
So you are playing Mask of Betrayer.
Yeah.
What do you think of it so far?
I really like it. I think I like it even better than the original campaign. And
I do too.
It's more of an introspective story. I've got a lot of motivation as a player to continue. And, you know, without getting into too many spoilers, I mean, there's an illness or a curse that factors in prominently.
Right.
And it's interesting to manage that, not from a mechanical standpoint, but from a role-playing standpoint.
Oh, absolutely.
How character handle that? And that's been fascinating. That's been a lot of fun to figure out how I want to play that, to try to do it consistently.
Yeah, there's, when you're finished with it, we'll discuss one of the companions. I'd love to talk to somebody about it, but I want to wait till you're done with it.
Well, almost done with Act 2, I think.
The one of many companion.
Okay.
I assume you have Uku?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I decided I wanted to finally find out about this one of many.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, I snuffed Uku. And I did get one of many, and you do not have to be an evil character to get him to be a happy camper. But it's tactical. It really is. You have to be really careful. But as soon as you're done with it, and if anybody gets one of many, I'd love to have a conversation with you because it's a very interesting companion.
Maybe I'll do that again at some point. I think the companions are great. I feel like the choices I'm making are really having an impact on things. And that's
they have so much more depth than the OC. Way much more depth, way more story. Okay. And their conversation with you develops and goes on and on as the story progresses, which was lacking with all of the other expansions,
right,
or official campaigns.
Well, I think about, you know, modules I played or games I've played, and games, you know, where the companions are front and center and you really feel like you're having an impact on the people around you who are with you all the time. I think that makes for a great experience. I think that comes again from kind of the paper and pencil background I've got. I mean, that was a big part of that experience, is you're working with a group of people. And, you know, Knights of the Old Republic, those games, I had that feeling. I played Dark Avenger recently. I had that feeling in that module. By the time I got to the end of Adam Miller's campaign that he did for Neverwinter Nights 1, I was really invested in who the characters were. And so there's a lot of payoff in that.
Yeah, I've played several of his modules also. And, well, what a shock, huh? Like several of a lot of people's modules. Enoa's RPG site, I did some browsing around. Would you like to tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Sure. You know, I've got a website and a blog, and the blog is updated regularly. I mostly write about the Neverwinter Nights modding that I'm working on, but, you know, I'll talk about Neverwinter Nights in general, D&D, computer games, anything in that vein I'll post on. It's mostly about the projects that I'm working on, but I do get to those other topics, and it's a fun way to let everybody know what I'm doing, and I get nice feedback and posts, and a nice way to interact with the community.
That's how I got a hold of you.
Yeah. I was really, really surprised when you posted and invited me to do an interview. I was really pleased.
Well, I don't know why you were surprised. I mean, you've definitely made your mark on the Neverwinter Nights community. And, you know, I started playing played one of yours. I started playing your multiplayer one. And I was like, and plus you're a listener. And I was like, and I was going through the comments. I was like, oh, wow, you know what? He's a listener also. That's cool. And I realized that after the fact. So.
Yeah, and I love podcasts. It's great.
I love doing podcasts. I'm really glad they asked me to join. And do you have any comments you'd like to add?
Sure. I guess the Neverwinter Nights community, it's just absolutely amazing. The other modders that are out there are absolutely fantastic. And when I've been writing, I've had help from so many people. And I've made connections with people literally from all over the world. And that's been an unexpected and very welcome benefit. I'd like to mention my wife. I mean, she is so supportive of this hobby slash addiction that I have. And she's always pushing me to do it, and I really just appreciate that. And, but I guess lastly, I'd have to give a very big kudos to you and Jay and Trey. Like I was just saying, the podcast is terrific. It always moves to the top of my playlist on my iPod whenever a new episode comes out. So I hope you guys keep going for a long, long time. And
as long
I really
as we have
appreciate
listeners.
Well, I'll keep listening if you keep cranking them out. So I really appreciate being invited to participate.
Otherwise, we'd just be sitting around talking, recording ourselves. That's kind of narcissistic.
That's pretty funny, though.
And I actually go back and I listen to the podcast afterwards when it gets released. And I'll either start blushing or I'll be like, oh, I cannot believe I said that. And it's like, oh, I don't want to listen to myself anymore. Well, Enoa/Ernie, I would love to thank you for coming and joining us in the Neverwinter Night podcast. It has been an absolute pleasure.
You're welcome.
We're back to the one-year-old party. Woo-hoo! We're 1 year old.
I'm probably going to take all that. What was that?
We're 1 year old.
Sound like a baby.
Well, we're just one.
Oh, I get it. Sorry, I'm slow tonight. That's pretty good.
I want my milk and cookies.
Can I use that in the main, or does that have to be a blooper?
I don't know.
We started the podcast in September 2006. Some stats that we have as of November 26th, which is yesterday as when we're recording this, we've topped 80,000 downloads of our shows.
Wow.
At least we hope that's an accurate count.
Yeah, we're looking into that.
And the top
Not that we don't
three,
trust you guys.
And the top three single show downloads are, drum roll please. Number one, episode 6, D&D 3.5 Rule Set Part 3 at just over 4,100 downloads. Number 2 on the download list is episode 7, which was the Sundren discussion at just over 4,000 downloads. And then the third most downloaded show of the Neverwinter Nights podcast is episode 5, D&D 3.5 Rule Set Part 2. At 3,989 downloads. So I would just like to say thank you for everybody. Thank you to everyone for listening to these, to a couple of geeks. Or Norks, as my daughter calls me.
Norks. Yeah, that's just amazing. I'm glad we've made it a year, and hopefully we'll make it more. As long as you guys keep listening, I guess we'll keep spewing it out.
We have something new that we're trying to introduce for, oh, and by the way, this is episode 40. That's kind of a milestone, I think. Or is it 50? Would that be a milestone? I don't know. 40 seems.
40 is over the hill, so why can't it be a milestone?
Anyway, I thought we'd try a little bit of different format for episode 40 and then our second year. Yay!
Yeah!
I got this idea from another podcast that I listened to, but and I also posted this on our forums as a thread. But what we would like for you to do, all you listeners, and we know who you are. I'll be contacting you, too, if we don't get enough volunteers. we need your help with what we're going to call listener hellos that we can use in the show. So at the very beginning of the show, we'll use that as kind of an opening. It's kind of cool. I think once you hear it, you'll go, oh, that's kind of cool. Anyway, it's kind of hard to describe. But what we'd like you to do is call into our Skype voicemail at NWN Podcast and record the following. You know, when I say my name, put your name there and, you know, be creative, with the second sentence and then, and then there'll be a third sentence. So it'll go something like this. Say like, hello, this is Trey, aka Asher Conzillo from Ontario, Canada or wherever you're from. Do that. Then say something like, I just finished the OC or I'm the baddest modder in the community or, you know, whatever you want to say. And then for your third sentence, say, you're listening to the only Never Winter Nights podcast. And if you do it good and don't mess up too much, we'll use it in a show. And we'll also put some effects on your voice so it sounds very cool. So I expect all of you that we've done interviews with to do this because I know you have mics. So
don't count your eggs before they hatch.
Be sure and reply in the forums to that thread I mentioned earlier and let me know if you leave one and J-Bo will go get it for me.
Yep. So is that it for this week?
I believe that's it for this week.
So as usual, if you have enjoyed the show or would like to help out, we recommend clicking on the PayPal donate link on our website. Placing a few gold pieces into the coffers will go a long way in supporting our efforts, recouping some costs for web hosting and microphones and editing software and stuff like that. So we appreciate that, everyone that has already contributed. If you have any comments or questions, you can contact Trey at show@neverwinternightspodcast, or you can leave us an audio comment or question, we'd like questions too, via Skype by calling NWN Podcast, and that's all one word. So this is Trey. Huh?
Why'd you put my name in there?
Because I'm picking on you. This is Jay.
And this is Trey.
Signing off. Until next week. Get in game.
And level up, level up, level up, level up.
The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, or their partners and employees. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, which is solely responsible for its content.
Guitar.
Okay. This is the only Neverwinter Nights podcast, the podcast all about everything Neverwinter Nights. We consistently bring you high-quality podcasts that is informative, entertaining, and inspirational. Welcome to the show.
Crap, I'm not there yet.
Hey, I'm Jay, a.k.a. Navinka Naroda.
And hey, I'm Ashokan Zelo.
Otherwise known as Trey.
And hey, I'm Trey, a.k.a. Ashokan Zelo.
And this is Michelle, a.k.a. Diso.
I didn't see her online at all. She's been absent a lot. Quit trying to figure out what epic spell for a few...
What are you laughing at?
That was funny. You just kept on going. What's the ad-lib intro? Hey, Body Every. Back welcome to the Nights Neverwinter cast pod.
You quit it.
This is Sod Ippy 04. It's hard to do in real time. Oh, I don't like that.
Those are notes, dude.
Put those in italics or something.
Yeah, I'll do that thing. Patch 1116 is now up and available. Did you know that?
Stop. I'm sorry.
Okay. Beep. The best towel set. The best towel. The best
towel.
That's
easy to say.
Tomachaka.
Yeah.
Tomo.